Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Episode 109, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points, your old pals. Chris and Dave with you. Chris from the Home Team, Dave from the Morning Show, and you mix that together and you get the Crossover Podcast with an exciting episode today, as it is Georgia-Florida week, and that game, as we record this on a Thursday, now just 2 days away, and also last night, as we record this on a Thursday, the Washington Nationals, who finished runner-up to the Braves in the NL East, won a very strange World Series where the home team went 0-7.
Strangest ever.
Yeah, never happened.
Never happened.
It's crazy.
The craziest World Series of all time. And before we dive into all of that stuff, I want to mention, too, the exciting news that we have. And as you mentioned, we're recording this on a Thursday, and Logan and I mentioned it this morning, and you'll be along, I believe, this afternoon with Tyler. But we are now in the App Store.
Uh-oh.
960 The Ref has an app. So whether it's for the iPhone or for your Android, you can go to the Google Store or you can go to the iTunes Store, download the 960 The Ref app, and it is awesome, I promise. And we've already gotten a lot of great feedback on it. It has an open mic feature. You'll get push notifications for the latest news. All of our on-demand content, including the Crossover Podcast, will live on the app. So the audio archives that we use for our local shows will be on the app. You can stream all Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile geofence of Athens. That's a new word I've learned. But that's very, very cool. So whether it's football, whether it's men's and women's basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's Bulldogs Live with Coach Smart or with Coach Crean, you'll be able to stream all of that on the app within a 75-mile geofence of Athens. And you can listen to the ref wherever you happen to be. So download the 960 The Ref app.
I'm going to sound like get off my lawn guy here.
Yes.
But what is the difference in, like, if you just said you could stream Georgia sports within 75 miles of Athens? Why do we have to add geofence as some, like, big technological term?
Yeah, I know. And I asked that same question, and I'm not quite sure what the answer is.
Right.
But the geofence, whatever the rules are or whatever the agreement we have is, if you're within 75 miles of Athens, you can stream the game.
Okay.
But
that just sounds like some made up tech word to make
geofence.
It's like you could stream the games if you're within 75 miles of Athens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe I shouldn't be using the geofence word. I don't know. Because, like you said, if you're within a 75 mile radius or if you're within 75 miles of Athens, you can use the 960 The Ref app to stream the dogs.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
is very,
that's
very
just cool.
Cool.
Yeah. Either
but
way.
But I like saying geofence, but I'm kind of like you. I don't know all the answers to those questions. But I love the open mic feature, the push notifications. And again, all of our demand content will live on the app, including the Crossover.
So when we post a new episode of the Crossover, someone will just get a push notification that says, hey, a new episode has...
I believe that is the case.
That's good.
And again, this is so new to me and to us and to you and Jeff and Logan and Tyler and Kevin and everybody else. We got to figure this stuff out, too.
Right. So there's no going back to a flip phone at this point.
The trusty flip phone. No, but download the app, and you can even shoot us an email, 960theref@cmg.com, and let us know what you think. We've gotten a lot of good feedback already on it, and we just made the announcement earlier today, but I'm really, really excited about this.
Yeah, no, that's great. So,
and it just makes getting to us and listening to us that much easier.
Yeah. So, get to the App Store and download the 960.
Do you have an iPhone or do you use the Android? Let's see. Yeah,
I still have an iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go to the iTunes Store. Now you do have to know your password, couple of people said, I've forgotten my password. I'm like, well, you got to get that stuff figured out.
Yeah. I think my password is my fingerprint, I think.
So. Oh, that works too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your password is MYFINGERPRINT.
Yeah.
So there you go. You can use Chris's password, my fingerprint.
My fingerprint is the is the password for the App Store.
Yes.
But, yeah, so that's exciting. And here's another edition of the Crossover Podcast now, which could just pop up on your 960 The Ref app, or if you still just need to go to 960theref.com and listen on demand there, that's fine. But
you can do that too.
The Dogs and the Gators going to kick off Saturday at 3:30, and what obviously is just an enormous game. Both teams were off last week. We know Georgia's coming off the back-to-back games. It was the loss to South Carolina and then the win over Kentucky, which didn't really like put a lot of our, at least off with the offense, didn't do a lot to calm our nerves about things. And now here's this Gators team that is coming off that three-game stretch where they played Auburn, LSU, and South Carolina, went 2-1 there with the win over Auburn, lost a tough game at LSU, and then rallied in the rain to beat South Carolina. And the Dogs feel like, to me, like they're in kind of a nice little buy-low spot with the public perception on them heading into this game this weekend.
Well, you know, when the line opened on Sunday, it was like 6 or 6.5, and then it immediately went down to about 4. And as we're talking right now, it's back up to 6 or 6.5.
Yeah.
So it's kind of back to where it started from.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of people out there that are now rooting for a 4, 5, or 6-point Georgia victory to get both sides of that. Well, when we were talking last week on the podcast, I mentioned in looking ahead, I'd gone and perused a handful of power ratings, and most of those suggested there was a line on the game. The number would be about 6 or 7 with Georgia and the power ratings. The one was the Sagarin rating had the two teams even. So when that line opened at 6.5, I wasn't surprised because that's pretty much where a lot of those ratings came and where they had it. But, you know, there was obviously maybe some quick action on Florida that drove it down. But I think once it got down to like 3.5, when, you know, if you're just investing and looking at these teams and you're not emotionally attached to either of them and they're just two numbers on a page for you, you look at Georgia when it got down to like 3 or 3.5 and went, well, that's a bargain on the Dogs now, because it's like, but Georgia's still amongst the nation's elite teams, despite what happened a couple of weeks ago.
Do you think the outside perception of Georgia is greater than the own fan base?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there's still a lot of nerves. And there's reason to be nervous. It's not like Georgia's going to go down there and they're a lock to win. I certainly feel, you know, you think about the way like we felt watching Florida back on August 24th when they were playing Miami in week 0 and thinking, oh my God, we're going to kill these guys, to now 2 days out from this game and like, man, I hope Georgia wins because Georgia needs to win just to have a season where it can at least can get back to the SEC championship game. So I think the gap is definitely closed, but yes, I think we as fans certainly came down harder on the team. That was embarrassing to lose at home to South Carolina, but as the weeks pass, you realize that I think that's going to be a case more of just it was a very good team that had a bad day and had a terrible day, and still it took South Carolina double overtime to win.
Does it make you feel any better, which it doesn't me, but does it make you feel any better having seen what's happened to like Oklahoma losing a game where they were a big favorite? Who else? Wisconsin, now we've seen them come back down to earth a little bit, but they were a huge favorite against Illinois, and they lost. Clemson almost losing to North Carolina. Are we seeing a little bit more now of, like, this is the kind of stuff that happens in college football? Or do you go, oh, that was just a horrible, horrible loss?
It makes you feel a little better. Now, all the Wisconsin lost on the road, Oklahoma lost on the road. We lost at home, and then it was, you know, to Will Muschamp. Also, it hadn't helped that South Carolina hasn't won a game since.
And they got roasted by Tennessee this past weekend.
Yeah, so, I mean, that certainly, I think, isn't helping people feel better about that. But
that was my question about the outside perception of Georgia as opposed to the Dogs' own fan base, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see some of that, too. I mean, as of right now, we just kind of have to look at the South Carolina game as like, man, you know what happens, and it happened that day. The Kentucky game was hard to watch. Georgia finally wore them down, took advantage of basically a horrible punt. It was a horrible punt that turned that game around.
Yep.
One play later, DeAndre Swift is in the end zone. and the Dogs have been body blowing Kentucky the whole game, and it finally paid off. But here we are now, a week later, or I guess 2 weeks later, getting ready for Florida. Both teams are getting healthier, so we see that too. As it's with Florida, they're going to have Zuniga maybe better. Greener will be back on the field with them. Who else am I leaving off? I guess on offense, they'll have the speedy receiver back on the field. And Georgia's hopefully getting Tyson Campbell back. It sounds like Cager's going to be back. So, I mean, both teams are definitely getting some good help here from the bye week.
And we know for Georgia's offense, getting Cager back would obviously be huge. He had really started to emerge as kind of that Javon Wims type, real go-to guy that Fromm would lean on. Just a nice big target there. So not having him is definitely hurt. And I feel like his road back, too, has now suddenly happened a lot faster than maybe you originally thought, because he was dealing with, like, multiple injuries, right? Ribs, shoulder, a couple different things.
Yep.
So that's definitely big. And Campbell hasn't played since, because he didn't play against Notre Dame, so it was who we played? Arkansas State, right?
Yeah, I think he was in that game, yeah. That was going to be my other question to you. If you throw out a 63-17 win over Murray State and a 55-0 win over Arkansas State for Georgia, and if you throw out a 45-0 win over UT Martin and a 38-0 win over Towson for Florida, what do you have? Does it change any kind of those scores were just they've inflated the stats, and you look more into the SEC and see what you get there. But, what do you think of these two teams other than kind of what we've already said? And to me, it's like, yeah, I think this game is maybe a little bit closer than we thought, certainly back in the summer and even at the beginning of the season. Like you said, when they were playing Miami and Orlando, and you're like, oh, this is going to be an easy win for the Dogs. And it certainly doesn't feel like that now.
Yeah, it's weird. Like for Georgia lost to South Carolina the same day that Florida lost at LSU. And to me, like, I kind of upgraded the Gators with that performance at LSU, even in defeat. And obviously with Georgia losing to South Carolina, they took what felt like a real step backward there. But I think this bye week, like you said, it's been good to get the team healthier. And I just, I think this is one where the perception of these teams and the directions they might be going definitely lines up for Georgia this week. And based on the line movement of the game, I am thinking Georgia's going to win like between 4 and 6 points.
Let me ask you this. So Kentucky and South Carolina had success because with Georgia's offense, they played conservative defense and basically dared Georgia to, I guess, try to do something through the air, and the Dogs just wanted to run the football. Now, that's not in Todd Grantham's nature to be a little bit more conservative on defense. Do you agree with that?
How
do you think that might play out?
He likes
Saturday?
To dial up the aggression.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, on third down, too, that's where, third and Grantham has taken on two entirely different meanings to us as Georgia fans, and then basically everywhere else he's been, because it is odd. I mean, got to give him credit. He has done a pretty good job everywhere he's been, except for whatever reason here in Athens. And then last year in the, I guess he was their Mississippi State's defensive coordinator even 2 years ago, or in 17, when we whipped him here. So between that and then last year's game down there, Georgia, and then even that Belk Bowl where he was Louisville's defensive coordinator. I mean, we've just completely handled him. But this would be one you'd have to think that over the last couple games, seeing what he's seen out of Georgia's offense and the Dogs' inability to really hit big plays, the lack of explosiveness, and especially in the passing game, has to have him licking his chops. But I think the thing is, too, is even with our terrific offensive line, one thing he's noticed for a guy that likes to be aggressive is, these teams in South Carolina, too, they've been able to get to Fromm in these passing downs.
Right, and that's been what's been kind of head-scratching is you thought the core of this team was going to be the offensive line, and it's not like they've been terrible or anything like that, but maybe we just had it built up so much in our heads that these guys were invincible. And look, there's been some nicks and some injuries and that kind of thing too, and that definitely takes its toll. So, I get it, but I'm like everyone else. I guess maybe there was just way too many expectations that were put on these guys.
Yeah, well, you're right. It was the injuries definitely came to the forefront in the South Carolina game, and they've got a really good defensive line. But that's what Florida has, and you mentioned Zuniga is now getting healthier, and they've got a heck of a secondary too. So, and you look at Florida, and they're definitely better than, you know, the two teams Georgia faced leading up to this game. But, you know, I still think that you step back and take a deep breath and realize that Georgia has built itself over the last couple of years into one of the elite programs in the country, and they had a terrible game and got beaten. And then, the conditions weren't obviously ideal during that Kentucky game. But I like these spots where, you know, Florida's technically, they're the higher ranked team. But then you got the lower ranked team that's favored by almost a touchdown. So those usually are good omens.
Yeah, for sure. And I also wanted to mention too, when we talk about third and Grantham, they are eighth in the league on opponents' third down conversion rate. Georgia, by the way, second in the league, but it's not a huge difference. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, opponents for Georgia are converting on 30% of their third downs, and that's second in the league. Opponents for Florida are converting on 35% of their third downs, which is eighth in the league. So there's not a huge difference there. The one stat that jumps out at me in the SEC that's nutty is Bama leads the SEC in turnover margin at a plus 13, and LSU is second at a plus 4. So they are 9 turnovers plus ahead of the second place team. And by the way,
like
I don't know if you've noticed this.
The fumble luck.
They're playing next week, Alabama. Yes. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, I've already seen the look ahead line.
8?
It's come down to like 7.
7,
now,
okay.
Yeah.
So, but that's a lot less than it was back in the summer, right?
Yeah. And that's got, I'm sure that still has Tua baked into it that he's going to play, which I'm going to assume Tua is going to play, even if he goes out there hobbled and not 100%. But I don't think he's sitting that one out.
Yeah. Here's a hot take. They're going to try to get Tua ready for that game.
Yeah. He'll be out there and ready to, ready
although
to go.
Although, if Mac Jones plays for them, I mean, I know he's not Tua, but how much does that hurt Bama? And he's capable. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, well, I kind of assumed that they would just go back to when they beat Arkansas last weekend to just, probably like heavy ground attack and whatnot. But what he threw like 27 passes or something, didn't he?
So. I think they realized it's like, we got to let him throw some just in case.
Like,
this is a good team to do it against.
Yeah, well, like, here's the thing. Like, Alabama with Tua finally has like a blue-chip quarterback, but they've been a dynasty long before Tua got there with Greg McElroy and A.J. McCarron and, I mean, whoever else I'm leaving out.
Yeah.
And so they'll be fine with Mac Jones or whatever his name is.
Are the Dogs going to get a knot this weekend? They need to. By the way, talking about turnovers. So Bama and Florida lead the SEC in forcing turnovers at 18.
Mm-hmm.
But Florida's also lost 15. So that's why they're a plus 3.
Yeah.
Bama's only lost 5. That's why they're a plus 13. So Florida's dialed up the turnovers, but they've also given them back.
Yeah. And Georgia's pretty even on the year, but that includes one minus 4 game.
Exactly. So the Dogs have gained 9 and lost 8, and the South Carolina game itself was a minus 4.
Yeah.
So there's some hidden numbers there for you.
Yeah. But the it's huge, because I think after the game against South Carolina and knowing this November stretch that is looming and coming up that starts on Saturday, I think we all had like playoff, national title contender expectations. Those kind of got, shot a little bit there in the middle of October. But, you get to where, anything less still, I think, than at least getting to the SEC championship game would suddenly feel like, all of a sudden, like the team took a big step back. So, this is almost feels like a must win on Saturday. That, and also, let's not forget all the nonsense Florida had going on during the offseason, too, directed toward Georgia. Like, this is a game that Georgia has always absolutely needed to win this year, no matter what the circumstances are. But now it's just, the stakes are even bigger.
Dan Mullen against Georgia / Kirby has only scratched once.
Yeah.
And that was in 2010.
And his offenses don't score a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, although I still feel like you know, when, and this is not a knock on Jacob Eason, but when he went down in 2017, that turned out to be a good thing for the Dogs with Fromm. Do you think Florida's this, in the same boat with Franks and Trask?
I think people feel that way. Yeah.
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 That's what it seems like
for
to
sure.
me, too.
All right. The Crossover Podcast is presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also in Five Points in Athens. Chris and Dave with you. We will pause here for just a moment, then we'll come back.
Download the app.
Yeah, download the app. Go to the App Store.
960 the Ref app.
Or go, what is the...
To the Google Store for the Android.
It's the Google Store for Android. Okay,
yep.
So Google Store for Android or the App Store for your iPhones.
There you go.
It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Episode 109, Part 2, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also now in Five Points. We've talked, of course, Georgia and Florida. What else is this weekend? South Carolina tries to extend what is now tied for the longest winning streak by one SEC East team over another. They've won 10 in a row over Vanderbilt, which is now what Georgia has done to Kentucky. So the Gamecocks trying to make it 11 straight and also win for the first time since beating us. I think Tennessee is...
Who is the Colorado coach? I hope it's not a Dan what's-his-name moment, you know, where like his last win was against the Dogs.
Yeah.
I hope it's not one of those kind of things with Coach Boone.
But holy cow, I mean, it could end up that way if they don't win.
I know.
Because, like, they play App State next week. That's not a gimme.
Who's on upset alert for that game?
Which one?
The Vandy, South Carolina.
I thought you meant App State, South Carolina.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. App State, South Carolina.
I guess App State is.
Yeah.
They're undefeated still.
They're the ranked team, right?
Yeah. Tennessee's on upset alert Saturday with UAB. Fresh off their win over South Carolina with at Kentucky. So they're on letdown look ahead for sure with UAB. And UAB's still good, too. They've only got one loss, don't they?
They only have one loss, but they're, the teams they have picked off this year is not exactly murderer's row.
Not solid?
No.
Arkansas goes to Mississippi State. I'm going to guess that's the mysterious 4 o'clock kickoff on the SEC network.
And State's only a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, that's one where Arkansas's got a shot to get their first conference win in, what, like 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mississippi State is. I believe the Joe Moorhead probably already has his bags packed.
Well, you lose 3 first-round draft picks on defense. That's tough.
No excuses. Not even tough. In Starkville.
Tough.
Auburn's got Ole Miss with then, of course, a bye week before they get to play Georgia. And I guess Texas A&M that plays Texas San Antonio before their bye week.
Like,
and then
a 39-point favorite.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Alabama this week has their, 10th bye week of the year?
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. 11th, I think.
Yeah, 10 or 11 bye weeks. Although we're not really in any position to make fun of the fact that they played
South Carolina. No, not at all. But... not at all. By the way, here's the quirk in the schedule. So number 1, number 2, number 3 are off. Number 4 is playing an FCS team. That's Clemson and Wofford. Number 5 is off, and so is number 10. So in the top 10, you've got the Georgia-Florida game, and then you've got Oregon at USC. Oregon's number 7, and Utah's number 9. They're at Washington. That's it.
Yeah, that's a couple dangerous spots, though, for the two Pac-12 favorites.
Yeah.
This week with
intriguing
Utah
with that, for sure.
Yeah, so there's the lineup in the SEC, and, a week schedule for the top 10 this weekend, but Georgia and Florida definitely the highlight. In fact, is that where game day is?
No, game day is actually headed to Memphis for the Memphis
SMU
game.
Because that's the game that's on primetime Saturday night.
That's the ABC game Saturday night. SMU's number 15 and Memphis is number 24.
Yeah.
That's what we've – nothing against those two teams, but that's what we have this week.
That's another one, too, where you've got the – the undefeated ranked team is catching points.
So what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm saying Memphis is going to win. Just like I'm saying the Dogs are going to win Saturday. In fact, I am like sniffing like 28-24, maybe 28-23. I'm feeling like the way that thing has moved.
So that would be you're going over, right? I think that's...
Yeah, because the total's like 46.
Yeah. Well, I'll be fine with that.
Yeah, 28-24. I mean, Georgia's going to have to score more than... The Notre Dame game was 23. The South Carolina game was 17. And then you had 21 Kentucky. Points against Kentucky. I mean, Tennessee, I guess, was 36 offensively. There was the one not in there at the end of the game. So
yeah, that's why I was pulling Murray State and Arkansas State out of the equation when we were looking at the Dogs as far as what they've done. Yeah, and the offense is like you just kind of keep waiting for it, but. It's sitting happening.
Yeah.
I know you've been out the last few days. I wanted to update you on a couple of things. Dan Quinn is still the coach of the Falcons, but Matt Bryant is no longer the kicker.
Oh, is that right?
He is gone.
Okay, well, he's my fantasy kicker, so I guess I need to go shopping.
You need to do a little shopping.
I needed to anyway, because I guess they're on a bye this weekend.
Yeah, so you would have to anyway. So you don't have Matt Bryant anymore. And when I think of all the things wrong with the Falcons... And he struggled coming back. I mean, I get it. But I felt like if you're going to prioritize things, he wouldn't have been at the top of the list, Matt Bryant.
No.
Whereas my wife thought, they cut Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Well,
it's crazy. Like, some Falcons fans would probably be cool with that. But, yeah, it's like it is weird. Like, as bad as the Falcons season has gotten, like, you couldn't have just let him kick the rest of the year and let him, leave with his dignity.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, at this point, his misses are actually good things, not bad things.
No, because last year he made that kick against Tampa Bay, and it cost the Falcons, like a couple spots.
Like, 6 spots in the draft.
It was the difference in – because Christian Wilkins was taken the Dolphins took him the pick before the Falcons took Chris Lindstrom.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's maddening.
No. Because that was like the crazy thing about that, the beating the Panthers and Bucks the last two games, is not only did you hurt your draft position, you also helped two division rivals' draft position.
Like I said, just maddening.
But there were still some people out there that are like, no, you gotta win. Come on, what are you talking about? How can you root for your team to lose? Like, well, it's easy because you want a better draft pick.
Yeah. And exactly. And like 100 years from now, is anyone going to remember that kick?
No.
No.
So, yeah, those missed kicks were...
A year from now, is anyone going to remember?
Yeah. Those missed kicks weren't bad, although... I did like, though, that the Falcons did... They did cover Sunday.
Yeah, that number was... It was interesting. It started at like 3 or 3.5. And then by the time that game kicked off, it was, 7.5?
Yeah.
And I obviously, with Matt Ryan being out, that... certainly change things there, but yeah, easy cover.
Easy, even
though
they were down.
Only the Falcons can be down 24-0 at halftime and cover.
Yeah, and cover.
Only the Falcons. So the other thing, I think we mentioned it at the beginning here of the podcast, the baseball season is finally over. The Nationals closed the season on an 86-43 run, which is pretty impressive.
Take that, Bryce Harper.
Take that, Bryce Harper. Addition by subtraction. The Braves have now won their division 3 times in their history, where the wild card team in their division has won the World Series. I know that doesn't make anybody feel good.
So were the Marlins the other
twice,
two?
And now the Nationals. And I think the Nationals became the 7th or 8th wild card team to win the World Series.
Okay.
So half of those have been in the Braves division, or almost half of those have been in the Braves division. And as we mentioned, we've never had a World Series where the visiting team won every game. And in fact, it's kind of funny, the only other times where the visiting team had won the first 5, one of those was 1996. We know that one very well, the Braves and Yankees.
Well, like Joe Buck kept bringing that up, and I was waiting for Smoltz to like just slug him.
It's like, stop.
Yeah.
Quit talking about it. And the other time it happened was in 1906, and that was a White Sox-Cubs World Series. Was in Chicago.
Right.
Now, back then, though, it was 1-1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah.
It just went back and forth.
Not a lot of traveling there, though.
And the White Sox actually upset the Cubs in that series to win it, but the White Sox finally won Game 6 at their place on the South Side, whatever it was called. This was so long ago, Wrigley Field didn't even exist.
Yeah.
So this was 1906. But other than that, we've never seen anything even close to this.
Yeah, because the Braves, yeah, 96, took the first two at Yankee Stadium and then lost.
And then lost.
Because I was waiting for, like, Smoltz to just, like, just turn Joe Buck's lights out, because he kept referencing that with this World Series and the way it went. But what, I mean, epic from Steven Strasburg. He saved the national season basically three times, because he came in relief in the wild card game.
Right. And then went 5-0.
Yeah.
So he's the only pitcher that's done that in a postseason.
Yeah. I mean, I was halfway expecting him. They got those insurance runs in the ninth inning that I'd have had him warming up, like, a la Randy Johnson in 2000, because he threw like 100-something pitches in game six and then got the last four outs of game seven.
Game seven, yeah.
But if it had been like 4-2, I'd have considered that.
So they won 12 games in the postseason, and Strasburg won five of them, and Scherzer won three of them. So I'm just saying, Braves offseason.
Yeah.
See where the Nationals won the World Series. Those two guys. Meanwhile, the Braves are setting up their postseason pitching with Soroka going in game three.
Right. That would be, like,
throw your horses.
I do think the Braves could stand to, like, add starting pitching. But, yes, also a bigger point would be, in the playoffs, make sure your best pitchers are lined up to pitch more than other ones.
And they had him lined up that he could have pitched that first game.
I know, yeah.
I don't get
or
it.
Or he could have pitched, I guess, the second game.
Yeah, he would have been able to pitch Friday.
Right.
And the series started on a Thursday.
And he would have been available
for
that
the
fifth
game. Five, yeah.
Yeah, instead of the guy they had demoted for the entire summer to Gwinnett.
Yeah, even though he had a great game, too.
He did.
But not have a great game five.
No, he was walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
Like, you got one great game out of him. Like, I would take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting series, to say the least.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It is. It's wild how things turn for the Braves, though, to give up 10 runs in the first inning to the Cardinals and then watch the team you beat in the division pretty, like, comfortably, too.
Yeah.
End up
winning
the World
Series. Well,
again,
the Nationals were 19-31 at one point.
Yeah.
It's after 50 games. And then they end up going on an 86-43 run. I mean, that's pretty solid right
there. Yeah, by, like, basically the end of May.
Yeah.
They had, like, the same record as the Astros.
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't done a deep dive into all the wild card teams over the past years, but this Nationals team has to have been probably the best one. I mean, they won the World Series.
Yeah.
And they ended up winning 93 games in the regular season.
Well, and they've got, and I guess Rendon is a free agent.
Yeah.
And then they've got this phenom, like the Braves have Acuna with Juan Soto.
Soto and Acuna, I mean, could be battling it out for years.
Yeah. But they do, at least with Scherzer and Strasburg, Scherzer's in the twilight of his career. I guess Strasburg is still early.
Like 31. Or is he about 30 maybe?
He's early 30s.
Yeah. And Scherzer's like 35.
Yeah. And they've got Corbin also, but
that was,
yeah, I mean, they're,
so basically the Montreal Expos have won the World Series.
I know, that's the only shame is they're not the Montreal Expos anymore. But
by the way, they're not the Washington Senators. I've had a couple of people ask me that. It's like, no. This is a completely different franchise.
Yeah, but it was the first since 1933 that DC's hosted the World Series, and then they lost all three games, but they still won them.
1933, now there was a year.
All right, back next week, we'll recap, hopefully, a Georgia win over Florida in the cocktail party, and I think that's absolutely what's going to happen. But then the danger will be okay, everything's all right now and back in order, and then you've still got no, Missouri. I know Missouri can't win on the road, but they're sitting there off a bye. Maybe they'll just quit, though, since they're basically they're not going to be bowl eligible or anything. But then you got to go to Auburn. And
by the way, can the Dogs get in the playoff?
Yeah.
They're already in the playoff. It starts Saturday.
Yeah.
It starts against Florida. Let's just go ahead and put it right there. The playoff starts this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I guess if Georgia wins out, it will be in the playoff as a one-loss SEC champ.
Exactly.
The question is,
can they do it?
What is the probability of that happening?
But you can't win out if you don't beat Florida.
No. And you got to beat them anyway, just because they're gross.
And you can win out by downloading the 960 The Ref app. We now have an app, and we are pumped about it. So if you listen to us, we have just made things easier and great for you. And again, the app with the on-demand content, everything we have will live on the app. You can stream the UGA sports programming, the Georgia sports programming within a 75-mile radius / geofence of Athens. And let us know what you think. Everything on the app. You can even see what Chris looks like.
Uh-oh.
On the app.
Uh-oh. Well, yes. They can do that on Instagram.com,
that's true. Too. That's true. You can do that in other places. But 960 The Ref app, and it's, again, it's for the iPhone or for the Android. So you can get it in the iTunes store or the Google store.
All right. And we'll be back next week. Appreciate you checking us out. Download the app or, you know, go to 960theref.com. You can listen on demand there as well. For Dave, I'm Chris. This has been the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and in Five Points here on 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.